Welcome to the Green Shoots podcast by Appleyard Lees, a conversation for those who own, manage or protect intellectual property.
Hi, I'm Alia. I'm a European patent attorney at Appleyard Lees. I've been with the firm about half a year now in my current role, and I'm really excited to be joined by my colleague Amadeep. Hello, Amadeep.
Hi there, I'm Amadeep. I'm a trainee trademark attorney. I've been at Appleyard Lees for just over a year now.
So last month, you put out a blog article explaining how you got into IP law from engineering. It's quite the transition. So today we have the pleasure of digging a little bit deeper to really get to the crux of what motivated you and what you now enjoy most about your role as a trademark attorney.
Yes, so during my school time, I had the opportunity to do an engineering GCSE. It was one I thoroughly enjoyed. And when we got to A-levels, I decided to pick subjects that would correlate to that and allow me to do an engineering degree. So I picked maths, physics, chemistry, and it all went well. Going to university, started studying engineering. First year went great, second year went great. I started doing my placement year. I think that was probably the first time IP was mentioned, maybe. I think we may have like some modules where it was mentioned slightly, but I had a bit more of a glimpse into it because I used to work for a company called Bosch at the time during my placement year. So there was always some mention of IP here and there. The placement year went well. I had plans to apply back to Bosch and join their graduate scheme. But I think it was during my final year where I met one of my distant relatives and I spoke to her about what she did as a career. And she was telling me she works as a patent attorney and how she got into that field from like a STEM background, and it struck something with me. So I went back to final year, still had plans to do engineering, but I kept looking into it, looked more and more into it, and saw that Queen Mary offer a master's in IP. And I thought I could always come back to engineering maybe a year or so later, but I kind of want to try this out. So that was probably the next bit of my IP journey that's actually started it all.
Interesting. So if you don't mind me asking, while you were at Bosch, what was it that sparked your interest in IP? So what was your interaction with the IP world while you were doing your placement?
So we didn't have any direct contact, but it was more to do with stuff like you would hear mentions of patent attorneys and trademark attorneys, IP counsel here and there. That naturally sparked curiosity in me into finding out more of what they actually do. And again, I don't think that was the exact point where I decided to do IP, but it was kind of giving me a background into it and I was starting to hear about it a lot more, which makes sense. I was working for an engineering company and they probably have plenty of patents at Bosch. I think it was the time where I actually met my relative and she described her career path that I started to look more into it.
So you mentioned your relative was a patent attorney, but you're now a trainee trademark attorney. Those are quite different paths. What was the transition in your thought process from patents to trademarks?
So when I did the master's in IP, I was always thinking, I've done an engineering background, I'll go and try and become a patent attorney. But during my master's, we studied pretty much all aspects of IP. Mm-hmm. And I do remember trademarks at one point I really enjoyed. The case law was interesting. I thought the speed at which it moves up was quite a lot different to patents, maybe. Yeah, it was just, I think, even looking at trademarks in the US and Europe and UK, it was all something I enjoyed. Not to say that I didn't enjoy working patents or copyright or designs and seeing the different aspects, but I think trademarks definitely was something that struck out. So then I did my master's, I really enjoyed it. I think my dissertation was in copyright law rather than any of the two that probably were going to be mentioned of trademarks and patents. But yeah, that's something completely different. Yeah, so then towards the end of my master's, we got to start doing a bit more work with some attorneys from different firms in London who would come in and give talks and set up sort of fake projects in a way for us to just kind of experience what it was like working in a day-to-day role. I thought that was quite helpful. But during that time, COVID started, so that put an abrupt end to things, especially in-person lectures. We got to that point and we were told to start studying from home. Lectures were going to be conducted from home. All our exams were conducted from home. And any schemes, like graduate schemes I applied for to work as a trainee patent attorney, trained trademark attorney, were all put to a pause. So that was an awkward time.
I can imagine. But you still made it in anyway. So how did you do that? How did you manage that?
Well, for around 5-6 months, I think nothing really happened with the world and we all just kind of sat at home. If you didn't have a job, I suppose. I started looking into more stuff and seeing what opportunities were available. So I think that was the point when I found a role at the UK IPO for a trademark examiner. So I was thinking, I've done a master's in IP. Although I wanted to work in patents, this is definitely an easy opportunity that I can just jump into and gain a wider understanding, if anything, of maybe the other side. So yeah, I applied for the role as a trademark examiner, ended up getting it, and started working there for around a year, I want to say. Yeah, that was definitely an interesting part of my career, mainly because you got to kind of work on the other side of the fence instead of prosecuting and applying for trademark applications. You got to examine them and argue with the attorneys that I probably work with today.
Sounds brilliant and really interesting. How do you think that differs from working inside private practice?
I'd say working as a trademark examiner, your day-to-day is quite rigid in a way. You'll probably get through somewhere between 4 and 10 applications, but it's kind of a repetitive process, which makes sense because from our point of view, we want them to apply the law and decide whether an application should be accepted or not. But there wasn't much scope to do different projects, whereas your day-to-day working in private practice, you could be working on a wide variety of things. So I think that was the main difference.
What do you mean by working on different projects or working on a variety of things?
You could be looking at somebody's trademark portfolio and deciding where updates are needed, where more protection is needed, maybe where a trademark isn't really valid anymore, isn't required to be renewed, filing a new trademark application, arguing against objections, looking at licensing agreements, copyright law, design law. These are all things that you weren't really exposed to as a trademark examiner, which you wouldn't be anyway. It's not something that's a negative from that aspect, but it was probably something more that I wanted from my role. Definitely enjoy working in private practice a lot more, but I think it all stems back to doing the master's, working at the UK IPO, and having all those different opportunities to probably get to this point.
So a question that comes to mind is, you must have spent a lot of time studying engineering. So you said you did a GCSE in engineering, and then the A-level subjects that you chose were related to engineering, and then you studied engineering probably for several years at uni, I'm guessing. Do you use any of those engineering skills now?
It was definitely a transition from doing an engineering degree to doing a master's in IP, in terms of there was probably a lot more writing than I was ever used to. I started getting used to just doing maths and showing proof of evidence, maybe, I suppose, but it all kind of linked in a way. I feel like you kind of need an analytical mind to work in IP, and even though it's more required for the patent side of things, it's still quite important for trademarks, just to come at problems from a different perspective. So I think the master's in IP definitely helped. I wouldn't say I use anything I learned in engineering directly in trademarks, but we do have a lot of design work, and I think it's important to be able to even just understand different viewpoints of designs.
So you've mentioned a few times that you had to get used to a different way of studying when you were studying IP at university compared to engineering. What's the process for qualifying as a trademark attorney? And what's the study like now?
I've been working for nearly a year as a trainee. So next month I'll be starting Queen Mary. And that will involve weekly lectures. So I'll be travelling up to London every week, pretty much. So that's a new exciting part of my life. Yeah, I believe you'll be taught a lot of UK and European trademark and design law. Also your copyright modules as well. But we'll have exams in January and I want to say May. After that, you go to Nottingham the following year. And again, you'll have more exams and coursework. And if you pass all those, you'll be a qualified chartered trademark attorney.
So are you gaining work experience whilst studying with a university at the same time? How does that work?
I'll only be attending Queen Mary once a week. That'll be every Friday, pretty much, excluding the first 2 weeks, which are induction weeks and intensive weeks. But so I'll be working 4 days a week. I'll be studying one day a week. So my life will be quite hectic probably for the next 9 months, but I'm looking forward to it and hoping that it'll give me a wider knowledge base.
How do you see your career evolving in the next 5 years, or let's say in the next few years?
So hopefully in the next few years, fully qualified, I can pretty much answer every question that gets thrown at me. That would be a good start, at least. It'll probably involve less supervision from senior colleagues, but it'll be nice to start having my own clients that I can manage, building my own client base, attending more marketing events and working a lot more independently.
I'm also wondering about the exams and the training that you're doing now. How is that different, or how does that differ from the course in IP that you already did?
So I'd say the master's in IP I did was very, it was like the groundwork, I suppose, to get to this point. As in, they covered all aspects of IP, but not to the depth that you would need to actually do this role. So if you come into this role, having done that master's, you'll probably be at least 10 steps ahead of somebody else, mainly because you're not there trying to understand. So say if you work in trademarks, I'm not there trying to understand what a patent is or how does their side work. I kind of already have a good grounding, at least. On top of that, even your day-to-day, when somebody's discussing work, they're not having to probably explain every single part of that piece of work because you have a bit of background knowledge already within you. Not to say you can't build that anyway, but I think spending a whole year studying IP definitely gives you a lot more knowledge than, let's say, another new trainee who's joined directly from studying a chemistry degree.
So you've mentioned that you compare your experience with a hypothetical trademark trainee who could have just come from a chemistry degree. Is it possible to study something like chemistry and then go into trademark law?
Yeah, so just me as an example would make sense, I suppose. I didn't study a law degree, essentially. I didn't do any English A levels. All my A levels were STEM subjects. I did maths, physics, chemistry. I spent 5 years at uni studying engineering, including my placement year. I think it is helpful to have a law degree and come into trademarks, mainly because you would have studied trademarks. But I think that's where my master's kicks in and I gain maybe a bit more direct knowledge. Whereas in a law degree, you'll probably cover all different aspects of law. In an IP master's, you're covering mainly only the IP modules, and that's all you really need at this point of your career. We obviously do have solicitors working in the firm and they will teach us maybe the other side, especially me, for somebody who doesn't have a law degree. But I don't feel like I'm at any disadvantage having studied a STEM degree and working in trademarks now.
So what advice would you give to someone who was studying a completely different subject to law, let's say chemistry or one of the arts or humanities, who had just discovered trademark law and wanted to perhaps change track?
I think my career path has been one that's very wide and varied, and it wasn't something that I decided in like year 10 or something that I'm going to study IP law or I'm going to work in a trademark role. I think it's good to have an open mind. I think that's probably the main thing. As in, I enjoyed engineering. I could see myself working as an engineer. But I think having an open mind throughout those years of 18 to 24 maybe allows you to explore other options. So I don't see why studying a chemistry degree should stop you from working in trademarks. I think you'll have to do a lot more writing than you probably ever did. And I think that will be different. But even doing any degree, you're going to need to do some writing. You're going to have to do a dissertation, this coursework. So it's not something that will be completely unfamiliar. Maybe it'll just be the style of work that you've been doing. Always explore all job opportunities. I think when you finish uni, and especially when I finished my master's, I really wanted a trainee role. And I think when COVID started, it was very disappointing to see most firms had stopped hiring any new trainees, which makes sense at the time. But I think that gave me the opportunity to try and find, not, I could have at that point just gone back to maybe applying for an engineering graduate role. But I had enjoyed my master's so much that I started looking in different places. So it wasn't just the UK IPO. There was other companies that had like IP admin roles, for example, like in-house. So there was this biotech company that I also applied for, and they had an IP admin role to work with their internal IP department. And there was only about four of them, but it was also something that I thought could be interesting, but the trademark examiner role I got accepted for first, and I wasn't going to say no to that. So yeah, I'd say keep an open mind. Read. I spent a lot of my time in my final year of engineering just reading about IP and IP law, and it was at that point where I could have probably just finished my engineering degree and applied for trainee roles, but I wanted to do the master's to see if I would really actually like IP. And if I hadn't done the master's, I probably wouldn't have found out that I enjoy trademarks. I think keeping an open mind, looking at all options and exploring all opportunities rather than just having, it's good to have a focus and saying that this is my goal. But I think, yeah, always keeping an open mind and thinking this could also be interesting.
So it sounds like you want to highlight open-mindedness, flexibility, and you know, reading and researching the options.
Yeah, definitely. The more time you spend reading, the better.
You mentioned there were roles that stemmed or sort of took people from your master's study that were more like admin roles or support roles. Is it conceivable that someone could work in some sort of legal admin or legal support role and then enter the pathway to sort of training as a trademark attorney?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've had multiple example of an attorney who had a law degree, worked in an admin role within our firm, and worked their way up to getting the trainee role and qualifying, and is now a senior associate. Even when I started, so when I applied for this role, I was told I was going to be given a September 2023 start date for my trainee role. But at that time, I was also not working anywhere else, and I had plans to go traveling and stuff. But during the discussion of my offer, it was mentioned that if I wanted to, I could start in a IP administrator role for the next 6 months leading up to the start of my training contract. And although traveling would have been great, I think it was definitely an important opportunity to take, just because it gave me the opportunity to start my training contract without having to really get used to the firm, just even simple things such as like the computer systems, how it works in this firm compared to another. So yeah, I don't think there's anything stopping you from working in an admin role to then getting a training contract. I think you probably would need a law degree or a STEM degree or a degree of sorts to be able to start the training contract. But no, I think it's hard to get training contracts anyway with any firms just due to the competition. So I wouldn't think of it as that if you haven't been successful in getting a training contract this time, then that's just kind of the end of your whole IP career. I think it's important to definitely even just take up an IP admin role for the time being, because you'll learn other things that you won't necessarily learn from your training contract. You'll learn how the support staff work with you, how the paralegals work with you. So not only will you understand that, but you'll also understand how to make their life easier when working with them. When I worked for 6 months in the admin role, I learned a lot of things and how they would like tasks to be laid out to them, how any instructions regarding new clients or new cases they would prefer to perceive them as. So yeah, I think definitely it's something that you could definitely do and still end up as a trainee and a fully qualified attorney at one point.
Great. So it sounds like the firm can be quite open-minded about using or sort of drawing from people's experiences in different roles or from different technical backgrounds.
Yeah.
So if someone was listening to this and they were considering training to be a trademark attorney from, you know, any sort of background, what would you advise them to read or to listen to or to think about in the meantime?
I think this podcast is definitely helpful. I listened to this podcast before I had my interview, and it was there was definitely takeaways from it that you could take into your interview. And not even just that, you learn a lot more things that you can't possibly learn just from reading, in a way, because you get slight insider knowledge. For example, two attorneys could be discussing recent case law, but they'll mention different things that you won't pick up from by reading that case law on a blog on the internet. So that's definitely something. On top of that, there is the Masters in IP for anybody that's finishing their undergrad and unsure, or maybe they have studied IP already in through their undergrad and just want to get better knowledge base. That's also another option. I think reading is the most important. And that's something that I spend a lot of time on. Going to your local library, there's always IP books there. And I guarantee you there's not many people checking those out, but they'll be available for you to check out, and it'll allow you to make a more informed decision of your career choice. IP is mentioned in so many different places. Sometimes not correct. People probably have watched Suits on Netflix, and there's a lot of mentions of IP in there, and I can tell you that's not how it works from having worked in it, but I think just having a wide mention of IP is always important. We've seen the Lidl and Tesco case this year, and it's been all over Sky News, and it's allowing other people to access the world of IP. And the more you talk about it, the more you'll hear about it.
That's true. There's a lot of high-profile cases that get a lot of attention online, and there'll be articles and podcasts and whatnot about that. So I'll just take a moment to mention our trainee blogs, which we publish. They are by trainees, for trainees. They offer career insights and industry perspectives. They're meant to inspire and entertain prospective trainee attorneys, not to provide any formal legal advice. You can follow Appleyard Lees on LinkedIn to get updates on our articles and podcasts. Yeah, it was great talking to you, Amadeep.
Well, it was good talking to you too.
Thanks for listening to the Green Shoots podcast by Appleyard Lees. If you have a question or issue you would like our IP specialist to discuss on the podcast, then tweet us at Appleyard Lees or email us at ip@appleyardlees.com.